can't remember.
Which card are we going off? Tapology or Wikipedia?
Are they different?
Yeah. Of course they are.
Who's dropped out?
No, no one's dropped out. They're just a different order, I think.
Yeah, that makes less sense.
Yeah, we're good to go.
Are you sure?
Yeah. No pressure or anything. But
definitely.
No pressure, but it's been going all right so far. So,
well,
one variable has changed.
we've got the mics on different stands because
yeah, two variables have changed.
Well, yeah, and we've got a different cable because that's my cable for the breakdown show. You know what I mean?
Oh wow!
Like we need to get this equipment thing sorted out. It changes every week. It makes me uncomfortable. No, we've moved the mic stands and the other stuff through to the ride-along.
Which went pretty good, didn't it?
Which is on the other side of this wall here, yes.
Did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it. I was a little bit tired because we spent a long day setting up and testing and trying to get over all the technical difficulties.
It's just not the time to watch you fight.
I'd much rather than be before midnight. But, you know.
It was fun.
It is what it is. Well, the next time we're going to be more prepared for it.
Yeah,
because I'm going to nap during the day, so I'm not quite as tired. And I won't be monitoring my phone during either.
You got caught out, didn't you?
They don't miss anything, do they? And then Raptors decided to throw me under the bus and post the clips of both of them where you're
checking your phone.
Oh, fuck. Damn it. Oh. No, it was a good night of fights. I mean, I'll watch them a few times more, but... Yeah, I definitely need to. I definitely needed a nap. I should have had a nap before.
Roughing it.
It was good though, man. I enjoyed it. And we'll do the next one. 262, right?
Yeah.
Oliveira Chandler.
Yeah.
Leon Diaz.
Yeah. Be all about that.
You fancy Masvidal facing Nick Diaz? I saw he offered him a fight.
Yeah.
Kind of feel like Diaz has been out for too long for him to jump straight back in with a Masvidal.
I don't know. You never know. It's a showpiece event, isn't it?
Well, it is.
Top a card and sell a load of pay-per-views.
Kind of Bisping out of retirement. Yeah. That'd be a good one. Bisping v Diaz.
Maybe.
Where do you want to start? Well, we can have a quick conversation about the three title fights, can't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there anything else you wanted to discuss on the rest
of the
card?
Just the sponsors. So we are in the last few days of our Manscaped offer. If you quickly want to jump on that, 20% off and free shipping at the checkout with Full Reptile as your code. And then, as always, we're sponsored by X-Brain. They've been supporting us at the pro team up at Hardy Warhead, and obviously, you know, we're good friends with X-Brain. If you want to drop in Full Reptile at the checkout there, you'll also get 10% off. And there are two sponsors for today.
There we go.
Happy days.
That sponsorship read. Almost professional.
Almost. Not quite. We're not really too professional, do we? Yeah, what a car, man. It was exciting, wasn't it? Like, I don't think anyone could have picked half of the shit that went down.
No chance.
On Sunday morning. It was, it was crazy, man. I think we're all reeling a little bit from Chris Weidman.
Chris seems all right, though.
Yeah, yeah.
He's on Instagram showing us what he's having for breakfast and how much he's pissed and, you know, that he's level with hydration. Did you notice that? He's like holding up his bottle of piss. At least I assume it was piss. I didn't have the sound.
Probably excited he can piss. Like it.
unless he keeps apple juice in the catheter, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, we even talked about it at pro training on Monday about just a slight angle change before throwing that low calf kick, you know, just taking them off the centre and sort of stepping around and throwing that kick just to prevent, you know, whether you can prevent that completely from happening at that, the velocity of that leg coming through, you know.
That's got to be something. It's got to be something other than just, it just sometimes breaks. I don't know as I buy it. Like the amount of times people throw kicks after kicks and they're blocked and checked.
I mean, he could have inherent microfractures in there from training and, you know, not enough to cause him any trouble. Who knows?
I mean, it happens so rarely for the amount of low kicks that are thrown. Like you've got to think the bones at least weaken somehow.
Especially even thinking about back to Anderson Silva, like, that is a heavily conditioned leg that he's kicking with.
Yeah.
He's been kicking for years and years and years, but it's still, you know, it still did what it did.
Mm.
It's just it's one of the worst. Isn't it? When they step back and it's gone and they step back.
That's the thing. You know, the first one I saw was a K1 match. I tell you what, I'll try and get it and post it on the Full Reptile channel.
Yeah.
But it was same thing happened. The guy threw a low kick and it went like a wet sock.
Yeah.
Like you're trying to get a wet sock off your foot and like shaking it.
Yeah.
And it swung and then went back and he stood on it and it folded underneath. That's so the worst bit, isn't it?
Yeah, by far. You know? By far, yeah.
But it shows you how flexible the skin and the muscles are.
Jamie was was saying one of the first things he did for Full Reptile was which fight was it?
It was
Bukachu.
Charrier,
Aspinall. No, Bukachu. Sofian Bukachu. Oh, yeah.
But Jamie Bukachu was filming in slow mo.
Yeah,
at
you
the time.
Were right there, weren't you?
Oh, man. Yeah, terrible.
It happened to Corey Hill, who, I mean, that wasn't surprising given the fact that he was 6'4" at lightweight. Yeah. But that was pretty grim. I remember it happened. I mean, this is literally, I can remember all of the times I've seen it. That's how a few times it happened. So there's the K1 match.
Brain.
There was a UK MMA fight. And why am I forgetting the kid's name? But like, same thing. Guy came out, and it's always the person throwing the kick as well.
Mm.
It's never the person that blocks.
No, never.
You know? But it's like...
So do you think it's one of Jimmy's principles is to change that angle before you throw that leg kick? Do you think that would... I mean, obviously, you're targeting a bit more meat then, because as they're changing the angle of their shin, you're changing your angle, so you're pretty much hitting calf again rather than shin bone. You don't think at all. It's maybe a worthwhile consideration, but if it's going to happen, it's going to happen.
I think if I was working calf kick defense, like we've talked about this, like attacking the kick is the solution.
Coming at it,
like you attack the kick. You have to check their shin at a point when it doesn't, when like right mid shin,
when they're almost not expecting contact. Yeah.
Like the reality is like if you hit with that part there, that's not going to break.
Mm.
That's such a dense, compact area where the two bones in the leg come together. I mean, you know better than me.
Yeah.
But this part of the leg, like literally, I could kick whatever
anything,
with that.
Yeah.
That's why when you see old Hans Mollenkamp breaking baseball bats and stuff, he's always going through with that part of the shin because it's the hardest.
Solid.
The further down the leg you kick, the more momentum you get into it, and the more vulnerable it is, I think.
Absolutely, yeah.
But if I was working calf kick defense, I would be working to check like mid shin as it's coming into my leg.
Mm. No, but we're talking about throwing it, about taking a step to the outside before throwing the
solution.
Leg.
I think it's the same with all those kicks. You've just got to set it up.
Yeah.
You just got to set it up. Like at any point when you can throw a shot and the opponent's going to block it, there's always an inherent risk to you anyway.
Yeah.
But it was like Taekwondo. One of the things I always remember doing in Taekwondo is kicking people's elbows.
Yeah.
You know? And it just seems to be one of those unavoidable things, especially if you were doing Taekwondo and you're not throwing Muay Thai kicks and coming across the midsection. You're kicking up fast and...
Yeah,
it's just one of those
just
things.
An inherent risk. Yeah.
It's just occupational hazard.
I mean, the good thing for Chris is he will have potentially some of the best rehab resources in the world right now.
Yeah, they'll just put a brand new leg on.
Yeah,
they've probably already got
screw
grown
it out. Yeah, screw a new one back.
They grow them at the PI now.
Yeah, probably.
He's requested Francis Ngannou leg.
Yeah,
because we're running in circles.
You know, I wish him well. That's not. It's just not a nice place, is it?
It's not a nice place. It's not at all.
Rose was unbelievable.
I did not expect it. I mean,
not at all.
Well, we talked about the Joanna fight, the first one, and about the fact that it's not, she's not coming from the strength end of the power spectrum.
Yeah.
And I still don't think she is.
No.
Like, that was precision.
Precision.
That was
wizardry. Like, she clearly sold this is going to be a leg kick.
Inside low.
Whaley even sort of like gave it that, and it just came up and, you know.
Really nice how she was able to come inside the hand as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like actually,
your target area is
there.
Tiny to get into that space. Yeah. Not a lot. You can't be off by a couple of degrees. You can't be off, can you? You're just
it's like operation, isn't it? It's like operation.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder. Like, we constantly talk about this anyway, but I wonder if you landed that kick on a pressure board and got a power at reading, output reading. I bet it wasn't that hard.
No,
but it wasn't that hard at all. It wouldn't be like, look at that! Wow, powerful kick. It was just precision timing and placement, wasn't
perfect
it?
Perfect time and placement.
Good
on that. And at a point where Whaley was probably not thinking that she was going to get hit with anything of power at all. Just,
she thinks she's got out of the way of that low.
But, you know, like it's like kick. The like Stipe against DC. I mean, obviously DC is going to punch heavy for a heavyweight anyway. But that punch that he knocked Stipe out with was only a short range punch.
Yeah.
It was more, I feel like it was more because Stipe was underestimating the danger there. He would have seen that punch coming and been like, this is fine.
It's like the rate at which you can shift the head.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like it was a short right hand, right? Mm-hmm. And there was no real purchase on it. It was a real short right hand.
Hang on, who are we talking about?
The DC punch.
Oh yeah, but yeah, it was a short hook.
Yeah.
He went from a overhook and he looped into an underhook as he stepped through. And then it was the shift to his body weight that generated that power. But like Shane Carwin Gonzaga, do you remember that? And another one I was thinking of the other day was as I was watching it through was Ung La from ONE Championship against Brandon Vera.
Yeah,
like he caught him with a really short range punch, like a left hook. Well, it was a long left hook, but it didn't move Brandon Vera's chin very far. But the interesting thing was he was already here, so he'd already half turned his head anyway.
Into his outer range,
it was just you know what I mean, just that little. Yeah.
I mean, the thing for Rose is she's going to have to fight her again on a pretty short turnaround. You know, that's the nature of being the champion. You don't get long to sit on your laurels and enjoy your time as the champion. I'm guessing she'll be back in there within four
months. You've got to think so. But then psychologically, you've got to feel like she's turned a corner now. Like she's always struggled, hasn't she, with the event as a whole. Yeah.
I mean, she couldn't have owned it anymore, could she?
Well, she, like, in the corner, she was, I'm the best.
Yeah.
I'm the best.
And then she was.
And then, she proved it. I mean, obviously, it's not going to be nearly as easy to catch Whaley the next time around because she's going to be far more prepared. But, I mean, we discussed it. Like, she did the same thing to Joanna. She came back the second time around and beat her comprehensively.
Yeah.
That's what she'll have to do this next time around. Whether she can do it or not is the interesting question. But
she's cool, man. I like Rose. I like watching her fight. I seem to like. I quite like. You can see she's battling with a few things, which is, you know, we all battle with stuff, and she has to do it in the public eye. She battles with it. She seems to have got to a place where she's overcome some stuff.
Yeah.
And she's executed a performance there that is, you know, will go down at least in this year's history for sure. People
definitely
will be talking about it all year.
Yeah, definitely.
Amazing.
Shevchenko. I mean, we expected her to win, didn't we?
Like, what do you do?
I predicted a decision. Yeah, I don't know.
She's incredible, really, isn't she?
Yeah.
She was so dominant and dominant in the area that we maybe thought there was more parity. You know, if she was dominant striking, we'd have been like, yeah, of course. But she was like, oh, fine, I'll be dominant where you think she's good.
Yeah, everywhere.
You know, I don't know what you do with her.
She's just in a bit of an awkward situation. She's in a bit of a GSP situation.
Clean out.
I mean, she's got Lauren Murphy. She's got Calvillo has got potential. She's not fought. Calderwood's fighting Lauren Murphy soon. Is that right? Young Jamie, you're here now. We've got a Wikipedia now.
Could drop you in it.
I'm sure Calderwood's fighting.
Yeah, maybe. I can't remember seeing that.
Or is it Cynthia Calvillo? It's one of them.
Yeah.
That's one of them. She's just stuck, isn't she, really? Murphy, there we go. So, like, the thing is, if Lauren Murphy wins that, then she's definitely next in line for a title shot because Valentina's already beat Chikagian, Jennifer Maia. And, I mean, her post-fight speech after her last win was... I mean, it was emphatic. And she actually said backstage, she was like, I'd practice that as much as I practiced the actual game plan.
Right.
Like, she was so certain she was going to win. And
this
from the win, she was so certain what she wanted. I don't know as it's a sellable fight. That's the thing. And that's the problem with this division is when you... Like, you look at the war room numbers.
Yeah.
And Shevchenko was half of Rose and Zhang Weili.
And, like, she couldn't be more a dominant champ.
No,
which
kind of works against you sometimes, making it look too easy. DJ, Demetrius Johnson, similar situation.
No, you're right.
Yeah. And I also predicted a decision win for Usman in the main event, and that was a beautiful
devastating
punch.
Yeah. Devastating.
Someone put the clip together. They put the knockout from against Usman and the punch that dropped Masvidal against Rodrigo Dam.
Really early fight. Very similar, right?
I remember watching that fight as well and thinking to myself, God, that was a good clean punch. Yeah. But he didn't lose. He recovered from that fight. I think he lost a decision.
It was.
I think that's his one of the stoppage. I think that's. Let me just check it.
It was a pretty special performance by.
It was amazing,
Kamaru. It really was. He's just solidified himself as completely dominant at that weight, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's just completely dominant. I can't see Colby bothering him. Can you?
I don't. I'm not really interested in seeing that fight.
No, I'm not really. As soon as that chat was happening.
Oh yeah, sorry,
I was just a bit like.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. He's just an incredible. you know, and I think a while ago maybe we criticised him about being more athlete than anything.
Mm.
But maybe he's just tapped into that, you know, that fighter a little bit, and that's a deadly combination, isn't it?
I think, you know, I was listening to the GSP podcast with Lex Fridman. I've not finished it yet, but I'd started it, and he was something really interesting that GSP said. He was talking about the fact that he corners other fighters now and how he recognises that they're different to him. He says, you know, a lot of guys, they like getting in there and fighting. He said, and I never did. I wasn't getting in there because I love to have a fight. Like, I actually don't like it. The discomfort, the anxiety and all that, the worry, the concern about it not going
right. He's very open about that, wasn't he, for years,
But then, then you look at Usman, and he's not going in there to fight. He's going in there to win. And the more I watch, the more it becomes obvious that there's a real strength to that. It's almost like a bit of a sociopathic approach to it. Like, you don't get... Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You don't get involved in the, let's...
Yeah.
Or there's no battle of ego there, aside from wanting to win.
I feel like
there
was a touch this time. Like, he had an egoic point to prove with...
Maybe. I felt like he did in the Colby fight more than this one. I don't think he... Like, he hit Colby with good shots, but it didn't look like he was... Like, there was no real venom in it, in my opinion. It was tactical. Like, you can see in someone's intention when they're throwing a shot what they mean by it. And that punch by Usman over Masvidal was aimed and it was perfect.
It was perfect.
There was no emotion that made it kind of ragged or overloaded on his front leg. You know, he stepped himself right into range.
Yeah. I mean, that's clean, you know, through. That's martial arts, right? Mm. That's what we want.
Yeah.
The ego is evaporated away, and the correct technique at the correct time with the correct timing is nirvana. That's what we're aiming for.
Yeah,
right? It's to take the fighter out of it to some degree.
See, V and I had a conversation about this the other day, and you know, there's so many scenes in Enter the Dragon, so many scripted pieces that were written by Bruce Lee, and like, I watched it all the way through school and it all sunk in, and I've got it all in my brain, like carved into the inside of my skull. But I can still reflect on bits now and learn from it. Mm. And things that he said, like there's a scene where he's training Lao and was one of the students at the temple. He's sat down and he's having tea with Mr. Braithwaite and he's like, hang on a minute, it's Lao's time. And he just goes through the finger pointing to the moon scene. You know, and he says, the first thing he says, kick me. And Lao kicks him and he goes, you know, try harder this time with meaning. And then he tries again. He's like, you know, he's basically saying, you know, do it with intention, but not with aggression.
Hmm.
And that was the lesson in that scene. It's like you can intend to land with accuracy and with power. But if you do it with aggression, then I'm going to see it coming.
Yeah.
Because he missed him. He moved out of the way.
Yeah, right.
What was that? An exhibition? We need emotional content. But he says emotional content, not anger.
Mm.
So then you debate what he means by emotional content. And then you look at the execution of that punch. And I wouldn't say there was anger in it. I wouldn't say there was anger in his punches against Colby. Yeah. But there was emotional content.
But we like, how many times, you know, when you fight angry, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
It's completely exhausting, isn't it?
But it does work for people. Yeah. It worked for Vanderlei. It worked for Robbie Lawler. Yeah. I would say to an extent it works for Amanda Nunes. Like she looks aggressive, you know what I mean? Like she's exercising demons when she's fighting.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And that's an interesting difference in some, like maybe you could see Rose, for example, that kick.
Mm.
There was emotional content in that, but there was not anger.
No. It was calm, if anything.
Mm.
Yeah.
Which is why she was able to place it so cleanly through the guard.
You see Ali Abdelaziz parading around the BMF belt this morning on social media.
I did not, no.
Oh, man. His fighters seem to love him.
Yeah.
But he doesn't often come across like a bellend.
Well, I mean, the thing is, the impression that I've got is that he goes above and beyond for everybody that he works with, and that's why they love him. And you know, that's the role of being a good manager. He manages a lot of fighters.
Yeah, he does.
And I would imagine he's got a very good working relationship with the UFC, which is why a lot of fighters sign with him.
Mind you always have, like, you know, sometimes in your friendship group, there's a dickhead, but he's your dickhead. And you're like, yeah, I know he's a dickhead to everyone else, but he's like our dickhead, so yeah. He's all right. Maybe he's just like that.
I mean, I know up to this point you think we've not got one in our friendship group, but that's because it's...
Yeah. Has it took this long for you to tell me?
Yeah. I know what you mean. I got to a stage a little while ago where I started muting a bunch of people that weren't fighters. I want fighters and coaches. I want people throwing nunchucks, and I want puppies on my Instagram to level me out. Puppies and Lego.
Like, no one should touch that belt. No. Apart from the guy that won the belt. Do you want to be the principle of that belt?
But then the belts, I mean, what is it?
Well, yeah, but you know what I mean. Like, if you're not a bad motherfucker, don't touch the belt. Do you know what I mean? It's like, just leave it alone. It's not yours.
But then who judges who's a bad motherfucker?
Well, yeah.
I mean, if we're judging bad motherfuckers, like I said on the ride along, Usman probably deserves that belt now. I mean, that was a bad motherfucking knockout.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Anyway. Quick shout out to Brendan Lockney, who got a finish on PFL. Yeah. And PFL was looking really good.
Really good.
Super high production value. Mate,
fucking
love the tournament.
Yeah.
And Brendan, he smashed that dude up bad.
Yeah.
He was looking real sharp. He's looking really sharp.
Good. Yeah. He's found a really good rhythm in his career right now. You look at the guys he's around, he's got Dominic Cruz around him all the time. And he's always in the Middle East training on the roof of a hotel somewhere.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I was like,
he's living life.
Yeah, good
as soon, as, soon as there was inkling of a pandemic in the UK, he was off to Thailand.
Dubai.
It's Thailand. I'm not sticking around for that. Can't leave the house.
Anyway, good event all in all, weren't it? It was, it was fun. I hope everyone enjoyed the ride along.
Yeah.
And we will endeavour to clean up the edges, won't we?
Absolutely, we will. Yeah. We were just talking about how we can extend the set, which is an interesting challenge. Because we create all these things ourselves. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. The only way.
We love a Blue Peter project.
Fight night.
Okay. We're on the Tapology website, okay. Are we? We'll go through that. I'll direct it.
Yeah, I'll just fill in gaps.
So the first fight is, mate, have you seen how many cancelled or fizzled bouts there are on this? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Wow.
There's almost a full fight card of cancelled bouts and like remade fights and stuff. So originally it was Luke Sanders against Damon Jackson. Now he's fighting Felipe Calares.
Yes.
First of all, have you seen The Watchmen, the movie?
A long, long time ago.
Luke Sanders looks like Rorschach. He looks like the character that plays Rorschach. Every time I see him, I think that. I can't think what the guy's name is now.
I don't know.
But you're irrelevant.
I told you, I'm the wrong member of the collective.
I need to have this conversation with Owen.
Anything to do that happened Watchmen. More than 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, look at all these action figures I've got. I think we're going to record another one this week, actually. I think we're going to do another one on Friday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think so. Nice. Anyway, Luke Sanders against Felipe Calares.
Luke Sanders has a left hand on him.
He does.
But he just cannot string a run together, can he?
He can't not get subbed every other fight, it seems to be the problem.
He just can't get a run together. I like watching him.
I mean, you know, he's a short southpaw. Like you said, he's got heavy hands. He closes range really well. But very aggressively, and that's sometimes what he pays for. But then he struggles to not get too far into range where he gets wrapped up. And like Rani Yaya, like you know what he's going to do to you. You know what he's going to do to
don't
you.
Don't make range mistakes.
Don't touch him.
Don't make range mistakes.
Keep glove trouble, between you and him all the time.
All times.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, he had a great win over Henan Barao, didn't he? But it wasn't Henan Barao.
It's post-USADA Barao. Yeah. You know, we've got to be honest.
What is he on? 6-fight losing streak or something. Like he's not who he was.
No, absolutely
not. For sure.
Five.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on a minute. But 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So he's lost 7 of his last 8.
Yeah, it's rough, isn't it?
That is rough, isn't it? To think at one point he was on top of the world.
Yeah.
Like, look at that. Going into the Dillashaw fight, his record was 31-1.
Wow.
That's crazy, isn't it? He lost his first fight back in 2005, his debut. And then he'd won, 30 fights since then? 30, what? That's a crazy win streak, isn't it?
The gear years.
The gear years
were good.
They were good.
They were good for Barao.
They were good. Well,
yeah, shame, but, you know.
It was fun while it lasted, though, right?
Yeah.
You know?
He was amazing.
He was
amazing.
But then he lost to Dillashaw. I mean, that's, you know.
Well.
I mean, the same situation.
Gear years were also good to him.
No, he had C-3PO in his system, didn't he?
Yeah, something like that.
He swallowed a Star Wars figure. Apparently it helps with your conditioning, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, he had good wins, but then once he started losing and once he, you know, once he started struggling, he started really struggling.
Waterfall effect, wasn't it?
Yeah. But of all the people he fought, like Aljamain, Ben Kelleher, Andre Ewell, Douglas Andrade, Sanders was the only one to stop him. Everybody else beaten by decision.
I mean, Sanders has got power, right? He's got power. He's got some nice straight punches. He's aggressive.
And he looks like Rorschach off Watchmen.
Yeah, I was going to say that. he's probably got enough for Corrales.
Yeah,
He has probably got enough for him. Like, I watched him. He seems like sort of a solid enough, scrappy kind of fighter. But he gets touched. He gets touched quite a bit. And I think if he lets that happen, Sanders will, you know, he'll probably put him on the floor.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is with Kolaris, he was cruising at a really nice pace up until he made his UFC debut.
Yeah.
And he was stopping guys. He's got like guillotines and arm triangles and rear naked chokes on his record. Then he made his UFC debut and lost a decision to De Freitas, won a split decision, then lost another decision. Like it's almost like he's leveled up. And now he's realizing where his limitations are.
Yeah.
And I like his style. I like the fact that he's constantly attacking. Like he'll pull a submission out of his ass left, right, and center. But he risks things too much. Like it was his last fight against Montel Jackson. He tried a drop Cienagi against the fence. And it's going to work one time out of 20. And that's only if you really know how to do it.
When it doesn't come off as well, you're just like, oh, no.
Yeah, just face plant with the person landing on your back.
Oh, great. Now I've got to spend the next 4 minutes working my way out of this.
Yeah. And that's kind of what he does, is he gets stuck and he gets drowned a bit. And I don't know whether Luke Sanders' takedown offense is good enough for him to maintain its standing, but he's certainly got the power to hurt Kolaris.
Or he'd probably
not been stopped, though. He's never been stopped.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he's a tough dude. He took a lot of shots against what's his name? Montel Jackson. Montel Jackson. Yeah.
My Reed Sanders will probably stop him, I reckon.
Yeah.
Might be his first one.
Mm.
But yeah, he's probably got enough, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This next one's interesting. KB Buller against Andres Michaelides.
I don't know if KB's won some sort of raffle or something, or I don't know, there was a pub competition. Yes, I get to do a UFC fight. But he seems I mean, there's not an awful lot out there, right? I couldn't find much to look on. I don't know.
I called that fight against Tom Breeze, and I really, really struggled to find any footage of him. The
Tom Breeze fight did not look great. He had some sort of rudimentary techniques, like he had a reasonable straight punching game and a rear leg kick, but that was about it. I didn't see much else. I was thinking like, oh, okay, there's something here.
Yeah. I think Tom Breeze is a really horrible person to make your UFC debut against anyway. He did look out of his depth.
Yeah.
But I don't know whether he'll have a bit more for Michaelides, because he looked a bit out of his depth against Modestus as well. Like, if you remember that fight, that was the one where he was, like, it was stopped at the end of the round because he was, like, leaned up against the door.
And then he fell out the door
when they opened it. It was kind of awkward, but you know.
He took some solid elbows to the temple, pretty much.
And he didn't really protest the stoppage either.
No, like, it was
he
like,
was
oh.
Kinda, he kind of had
oh,
it
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, like, I actually think this one might be quite an interesting fight. Like, the bits that I did see of Buller is he's got good elbows. He's got good Muay Thai.
Right.
The thing that stood out to me more than anything, and we didn't get to see any of this because he didn't get ready to speak into a mic, but he's a really interesting and funny individual.
How is it?
Yeah, mate. He could be a stand-up comedian, easy.
Really?
Easy. He talks about...
Maybe this is like an extended bit that he's doing for... Maybe. Guys, you know, it's time I was a UFC fighter.
Maybe. Maybe he's a method actor. Yeah, he's studying at the moment. No, he was talking about like the pressure on him from his family to like going to medicine, and you know, like he's a very intelligent guy. I think he's got some kind of qualification in some kind of medicine doctor or whatever. But he wanted to do MMA. I don't know whether...
No,
whether
Dad, you don't rule my life.
Yeah.
What can I do to really piss them off?
But he was sitting there in the fighter meetings, like, doing impressions of his dad, and they were just... It was funny. We were all laughing. I mean, he was a funny guy, but it was... He just looked out of his depth against Tom Breeze. But then I think Tom can do that to most people.
Michaelides?
I think it's Michaelides.
Michaelides?
Yeah.
Man, he's got some power.
Yeah.
Like he got probably outmaneuvered a little bit by Bukauskas, but... man, he's got some power. If he can pin KB down into an area where he can get his hands on, I think he's going to be in a bit of trouble. It's not like he didn't have any power. It's not like he didn't have any strikes.
But hang on a minute. The other thing I'm thinking as well is that fight against Bukauskas was at light heavyweight. So he's actually a middleweight. Is he actually a middleweight, or is he going down a weight class? Let me have a quick look at that.
I suppose he was a bit. There was a bit of mud. He could have got rid of
a bit of mud.
There was a bit of mud around.
Yeah, but when you're up against Bukauskas, you're going to look small anyway.
Yeah, yeah. He's a big dude.
His fight before Modestus was a catch weight at 195. Middleweight before that. So it looks like he's been a middleweight, and he took a short notice fight against
and went up
Bukauskas. Let me have a look. See if Modestus. Yeah, I think he was due to fight somebody else. I think he was due to fight Maria.
I think he's got too much heat for Buller.
Yeah.
I wasn't blown away by him against Bukauskas, but I thought he had a bit of fire in his hands.
Yeah.
Has he been? And I just haven't seen anything from KB to suggest anything different. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, he's been stopped a couple of times. He's been stopped by punches. He's never been subbed.
Yeah.
But he's been stopped a couple of times. But I don't know. I mean, I think we can underestimate.
Because he's funny, you know.
I can.
Well, no, I mean, you can do whatever you want on this podcast, but
I can pick him because he's smart. Yeah. And that's something that I think is massively underestimated in a lot of fighters. And someone like
Intelligence is contextual, though.
It is. But he's clearly a very observant problem solver.
Mm.
And sometimes, like, he was on an unbeaten streak coming into the UFC. He probably thought he was at a level which was world class. Stepped into the UFC and he's like,
oh shit,
okay, there's more to it. And then, you know, for the last few months, he's probably leveled up his training. He might be an entire different person coming back in here.
Maybe.
That's all I'm saying is I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt.
No evidence to suggest that is the truth.
Whereas the other guy didn't even geographically know where he was in the octagon, sat up against the octagon door.
Well, after six elbows to the temple. I mean,
that's like someone taking the chair out from underneath you as you're sitting down, isn't it? Like, you've got to have your head on a swivel.
Yeah. I mean, his head was put on a swivel while Bukauskas put in the downward elbows.
So you think Michael Idis is going to do it then?
Yeah, I think so. I can't see any reason why I wouldn't pick that way, you know?
I'm just going to disagree with you for the fun of it then. I think he's going to get stopped with elbows again.
Of course you will. I'm just glad you're not on your phone during the...
Here we go. Someone's got to monitor you, morons. Make sure everything's happening right. You know what I mean? Censor the chat on the thingy, cut the trolls out of it.
Yeah,
put people in. He's sitting on the back seat of the fucking Cadillac.
I would like to put people in timeout. I'd take that role, that'd be great.
Would you?
Timeout.
Yeah, but then there'd be no live chat. It'd just be every now and then there's a comment. Timeout. Like, that guy at the back looks kind of like Jason Statham.
I was kind of happy, like, you can stay.
Star. Pin that Pinned motherfucker. It.
You'll do. I do get referred to as a lot of different people.
Yeah, you do. You're a bit of a shapeshifter, aren't you? I mean, you know, like that. Jason Statham did come up the other day. His head's too narrow, though.
Always Bill.
Me
and Bill are like different cloth.
You and Keith Jardine.
Keith Jardine. Keith all Burr. The time. Yeah.
Bill Jardine.
I strike like Keith Jardine, but without the efficacy, just the jankiness.
You strike like Bill Burr and you're as funny as Keith Jardine.
There you go. That's perfect. That is perfect. I'll give you that.
But you are taller than Jason Statham, so... You
know, really?
Yeah. Yeah, he came into Legends one day when there was
no way.
Yeah.
How tall is he?
Mate, is it? But we
I'm
were talking
not a
about
tall
the,
man.
We were talking. Yeah, but you're taller than Jason Statham.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying.
I don't know. I'm gonna check. This is a new stat.
Well, it's funny what movie's doing it because he always looks about 6'2" in movies.
Well, this is it, isn't it? I mean, you know, they always.
But I did. You know, the first time I realised about TV putting weight on people is when Dre was...
It's when you watch the podcast and everyone thinks I'm famous.
No, that wasn't the first time. It was when, like, obviously we were training with Dre and Dre was like, what, 75 kilos in training camp, 76 kilos in training camp. And then he got on tough on TV and he just, because he was lean and ripped, he just looked like... he was a henchman.
Yeah.
And it was like, wow, you put like 10 kilos on.
See, this is how you know he's short, because he's had his Wikipedia page edited, so his height's not on it. For real, it's not on it.
No way.
It's not on it. However...
It's like Jimmy always making me do his photos in black and white because he's ginger. I'm like, bro, you're always going to be ginger. It's not going to change.
He's ginger and red at the moment. 178 centimetres. Well, I'm 182, so he's 4 centimetres. So he's not that short. Mm. I think that's bullshit still. I'm just going to Google how tall. That's the first question. How tall, how old, and how much is he worth? My goodness.
One of those numbers is huge.
98.9% Googled by females. Yeah.
My subconscious perception would be that Jason Statham was 6'1".
We were talking about that with Leonidas earlier today, weren't we? Yeah. Like, he was like 5'7". He was
amazing.
Like, they're coming for you. Yeah. Yeah, he's Jimmy Rivera. That's who they should have used for 300. Is Jimmy Rivera? At least he could have done a proper Sparta kick.
Oh, he'd be great in that. You love him, yeah.
You like him, don't you?
Yeah, he's like one of my favourites. Yeah, he's like the thick block back. Just like
that's what you think you look like when you hit the
back. That's
what
I used to look like.
Yeah. That's what you didn't. You look like I ain't got one. You look a bit more like that actually. You look like Beast off X-Men, but not blue.
Yeah, I enjoy that nickname.
Yeah.
He would have
been
next?
A better grappler as well, though. Sam Hughes against Loma Lukbunmi. So Sam Hughes' last fight got stopped by the doctor, did it not?
Yeah, it was...
What was it? I didn't see much wrong with
her. It was a little bit of an eye poke. She couldn't see, but it was really like...
couldn't see a way to win.
She was getting fucked up for a start. Yeah. So I'm not sure how much she wanted to see out of that eye. Not that I'm casting any aspersions on the injury or not, but it was really...
Yes, that's absolutely what he is.
It was really... It was almost awkward in the corner because it was like... the coach was like, right, you can't see, I'm calling it off. And then he sort of turned and went, do you want to keep fighting? She was like, yes, I want to keep fighting. and then the doctor came in. So I think the doctor had heard that she said you couldn't see out of it.
Yeah.
And then he was just like, nah, it's done.
Yeah.
But I mean, there was no way she was going to win that.
No, not at all. No. Yeah, I kind of want Ricky Gervais to like react to the finish of it. It's like, you know, can you see it? What? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No, Tisha Torres was lighting her up.
She's very fast, Tisha. She's got good striking, you know, just generally she's got a well-rounded skill set.
Yeah.
She gets a little overzealous sometimes, obviously, but Sam Hughes still wasn't able to do a great deal with her when she closed distance.
No.
And I think the risk in closing distance against Loma is that she's going to get kneed to hell.
And knees.
Elbows and knees, yeah.
When I was watching her for this, I haven't seen, across male and female, I haven't seen that level of elbows as precise as she is with them and as varied attacks as you get from her, obviously with the background.
Mm.
But I was like, oh, you know, she's hitting some elbows that no one else is really hitting or not as regularly as she was hitting.
No, for sure. She's had like 130 Muay Thai fights, something like that. Yeah. Like, it was a big deal, signing with the UFC out of Thailand. I was expecting when she fought Angela Hill for it to be a bit more of an elbow fest, but they both kind of respected each other in that range. I feel like Sam Hughes, she moves in and out in such a straight line that Loma's going to be able to pick her apart. Whether she's got the heat,
well.
No, I don't.
This is
I don't
not
going to
go well.
Whether she's got the heat to stop her on the way in with strikes, I don't know.
Mm.
But like, was it Loma's UFC debut when she fought Alexandra Albu?
Mm.
And she had her in the clinch, and Albu's like, she's like
tank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, she was trying, like ripping her shirt and stuff, trying to hold on to her. And Loma was just ragging her.
Her single necktie control is like special. In single necktie, elbows up the middle. She's
pretty impressive. Yeah, she's an atom weight as well.
Yeah. No, she, like we were saying about TV, she doesn't look like an atom weight.
No,
at all.
No. I mean, she has gained some weight to go into the weight class. It looks predominantly lower body, though. She looks like her legs have thickened up a lot.
Yeah.
And her ground game's gotten better as well.
Yeah. What we're talking about fighting angry. When she fought Jinyu Frey, at the end of the first round, they went to the corner, and Jinyu Frey looked like she was going to fucking murder someone. She looked like my wife, and I pissed her off. She was just, like, vacant. She was like, the coaches were speaking to her, and she was just staring back across. I was like, how long's left? Get me back out of there. It's hilarious.
Yeah. She's good, Loma, isn't she? She's got that Muay Thai swagger as well. You can tell she's been fighting for a long time.
She's got a nice rear leg teep to the face as well, which sort of pops out of nowhere and push kicks straight to the jaw.
Yeah, I think I think Sam might be too much on the centre line for this one.
I agree.
You're going with
Lowe. Almost to the point where, striking wise, certainly, I think it's a mismatch.
Yeah,
it's just whether or not Sam can get her hands on her and how much damage she can do if she does get to the floor.
Yeah, I mean, you know, same record, both 5 and 2. But the experience on Loma's side's ridiculous.
Yeah, she's cool, man. I like her.
Loma. Kai Kamaka the third. You've got to use the if you're the third of whatever or the second, perhaps.
Kind of does sound.
You've got
cool.
to use it, haven't you?
Does kind of sound cool.
Yeah, Kai Kamaka the third against T.J. Brown. So 8-3 against 14-8.
Has James Krause got like 150 fighters on the roster?
150 of them.
He seems to be. He must be busy.
Busy dude.
He seems to be at every single event with at least one fighter. He's on a bit of a skid, isn't he, TJ? He's he's
a little bit
great. He got subbed by Jordan Griffin, didn't he?
Yeah.
Which is not, you know.
Another one of those guys that, I mean, you know, he was a bit up and down throughout his career anyway, but he was putting sort of 3-4 fight streaks together, which is, you know, what got him into the UFC. He was on a 3-fight win streak. He had a first round knockout by head kick in LFA and then made his contender series debut and won by arm triangle. And that, I mean, it was a fun back and forth fight, but he wasn't entirely in control of that all the way through. And he got deducted a point for an illegal knee. And as soon as he threw it, he knew it was illegal as well. He's just a little bit ragged, and that's where I think he pays with some of these fights.
It's got quite a long stance too, and Chavez hammered that front leg, and he just couldn't really do anything about it. You could see as he tried to check it, he had so much weight on the front foot that as he checked it, he almost sort of fell over a couple of times.
Yeah. Still affecting his balance and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. And Kai Kamaka's got good hands. You know, nice, you know, he's got good speed, he's got good precision, he picks his angles well as his opponents are moving, but at the same time he uses a really lighter's fallen out of his pocket.
Wow,
is that one of my lighters you've stolen?
No.
You sure?
That didn't happen. That's never happened.
Say it's not yours, it's just fallen out of your pocket. It's robbing lighters from everybody now.
Amazing.
Yeah, he's got a very good faint sell. Like because he's so fast, a bit like Adam Amasinghe, like you know when you see him faint, you're like, he's coming.
Yeah, like, you have to flinch.
Because of how fast he is, like a faint might as well be a punch.
Yeah, it's just better to flinch and be nothing there than not flinch and get caught with three.
Yeah. But I think this is most likely for me going to be TJ Brown trying to get Kai Kamaka to the floor and ground him and slow him down and maul him from the top position.
I felt like Kai got out-hustled a bit when he fought Pierce.
Yeah.
Because I thought they were quite... Standing, there was some parity, wasn't there? But he just got a bit out-hustled.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm looking at if I'm TJ Brown coming into this one. I'm looking at that moment where he was on all fours and he's taking shots and he's not really doing anything to he's not logically doing anything to get up. And that's where the not intelligently defending yourself thing comes into play.
Yeah, because he wasn't out. Yeah, he wasn't concussive, but he's not, you know, he's not doing anything to better the situation, is he? He's just sort of surviving.
Yeah, and just doing weird things. Like when you're kind of half flattened out, like posting up on all fours and like looking over to your corner team. And, it was like he was just trying to get
tag,
out of
tag,
it.
Tag,
yeah.
tag,
yeah.
tag.
Yeah. yeah, yeah. It was like he was trying to find a way out. He didn't look comfortable in there. So if I'm TJ Brown, I'm thinking I can put him in that position. Because that's what he did to, that's what he did in the contender series, wasn't it? Drown him until the third round and arm triangled him.
And then if I'm Kai, I'm gonna chop him to pieces. Mm. I'm gonna beat his leg up until he hasn't got enough under him to hustle me.
And then box him up.
Yeah, I think so.
Which one are you going with?
I think maybe
that's quite an even one, to be honest.
Yeah, it is. Maybe. Yeah.
Go on.
Maybe Brown. Just I think he could probably out hustle him.
Yeah. What decision? Like mauling.
Yeah, maybe.
Or maybe stop him. I could see TJ Brown doing exactly what Jonathan Pierce did to Kai Kamaka. But then now it's happened once to Kamaka, like, can he?
He must have adapted. You would hope he would have adapted. I don't know what Jimmy's out of. I don't know who he's got around him or what have you.
Hawaii, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. I did look it up. I just can't remember what it's called. Actually, that made me think, like, there's so many guys that come out of Hawaii. What are the gyms in Hawaii? Is there a big, like, ATT equivalent?
Not really.
No.
Not really. I mean, BJ Penn had a gym. I don't know whether he's still got one. I certainly don't think he's teaching out of there. But
that's a shame. The main gym,
They had good shows in Hawaii for a while. Like, they had Rumble on the Rock. And Hawaiian Super Brawl was great. Like, because you get, like, Egan Enoe and Frank Shamrock fighting at the top of the card, and then some dudes fighting over a lawnmower down the bottom. It was legit, like, neighbours fighting.
We've got a garden dispute into the cage. Let's go.
Yeah, and the beach. Rumble on the Rock was good. Like, they had Ron the Machine Gun John and Cabbage, Cabbage Cohere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They always had good fighters coming out of Hawaii. But the only gym I can think of is Max Holloway's gym.
Mm.
And that's Oahu, and I don't think he's...
That would be.
Yeah, right.
MMA gym on in Hawaii.
Not too bad.
Yeah, TJ, I think I think it'll be close. TJ, probably.
I think this next one's a lot of fun as well. So the guy that's just beat Kai Kamaka, Jonathan Pierce, is stepping up and fighting Gabriel Benitez, which is when I say step up, it's because he's got double the experience, like 10-4 compared to 22-8, and Benitez is good, He's got some wicked skills.
Well, I was going to say, obviously, we watch so much MMA, you more so than me, but, you know, we watch a lot of MMA, and it's rare where you're like, oh, shit, that technique really stands out.
Yeah.
But his rear leg kick is, it just seems like a different level to pretty much anyone else.
Yeah.
He just throws it with so much power and so much speed. And it's almost unique. Well.
He's got the kick, the knee, the uppercut, all off the same side.
Yeah.
Southpaw.
Oh, man, that knee he landed on Justin James.
Yeah.
Like, took my breath away watching it. I was like,
Yeah.
Wow. And I mean, that's another timing thing, right? It's just devastating. You get that knee right as they're coming in, and that upward trajectory up through the solar plexus. There's no coming back from that, is there?
No way.
That's full body shut down.
It's a horrible place to be.
Yeah.
But the thing is with Benitez, he's got good skills, but he's lacking consistency. Then on the flip side, you've got Jonathan Pierce coming in, who was, I mean, he's got a 3-fight losing streak on his record. But then he went on a 5-fight win streak before losing to Joe Lauzon. I mean, you know, you go from contender series to Joe Lauzon.
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it?
It's a big jump.
Who did he piss off?
Yeah, exactly.
He is tough, though. And I think he's got a nice varied... He's got a nice varied game, hasn't he? He's got a lot of different attacks. He fights out of both stances. It'll be interesting to see if he starts getting lit up with that leg kick, whether he switches stances or whether he comes out in a different stance just to throw him off a little bit.
Mm.
I think this is a bit of a sleeper, this fight on the card. I think it could be a bit of a banger.
Well, I mean, that's one of the reasons why Benitez has got losses on his record is because he does like to step into the fire a bit.
Mm.
He's got one of those tight guards that you can imagine he's done loads of boxing sparring with big gloves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you can get away with some of that. Yeah. And then you put the MMA gloves on and stuff starts getting through.
He's got a couple of little weird ticks in some of his techniques. He's got a real, like, slappy counter left or check hook. It's not really a check hook. It's a bit like get off me, check hook. But, yeah, like I say, I think it could be a bit of a bang. I think Benitez could chop him to pieces. Mm. And then Pierce is just going to find it hard to put anything together with his, you know, with his legs kicked out from under him.
Yeah. I mean, Pierce has done well against guys of a similar level to him, similar level, similar experience. You know, like, you look down his record, like the guys he was on the win streak against, 3-1, 6-1, 4-2, 3-1, 11-4 in the contender series, but then straight into 27-15 against Joe Lauzon.
Yeah.
And then back down to 8-2, Kai Kamaka.
Was that short notice or something, that Lauzon fight, or...
I don't know. I'll be able to see on Joe Lauzon's.
Seems like a weird anomaly in the matching.
It doesn't seem to be. It doesn't seem to be. There's no cancellation on Joe's record. I mean, that's the thing is, I think like Benitez has got a few like really well refined weapons, and I think if he's able to, you know, stay out of the fire a little bit and not, you know, not get too caught up in the moment, I think he should be able to
pick him apart. I think so. That'd be a good one.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good one. Yeah, Benitez, I think.
This is just getting confusing now. So we've got two people on the card called Luana.
I know. How about that?
Luana, and V was trying to teach me how to say her name.
Seems like Pinheiro.
Pinheiro.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Oh, no.
We need to need Mystery to help us pronounce it. Oh, dear. It's been a long weekend. Yeah, so Randa Marcos against Luana Pinheiro.
Yeah, Randa's like, well, 10 and 10 for a start. You do not see that very often, do you?
No, not so much.
10, 10 and 1, sorry. But yeah. Still, you just don't see that very often.
Not so much. We did... Who's the other one? There is another female. Oh, Sarah Morales. I think she's 6 and 6.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
The women's
division... So she's determined.
She's determined.
She's definitely
for sure.
Determined.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's all decisions.
As the saying goes,
she?
Knock down 10, get up 10.
Exactly. I mean, she's game and she's kind of awkward and, you know, obviously she's tough to, you know... Sticking at it, she's tough. Yeah.
She's a good Randa Marcos is a good mid tier test for strawweights on the rise, and like you know you look down her record and you go okay well so she was able to armbar Angela Hill so she's hit the ceiling there but then she stepped up and faced Claudia Gadea and wasn't good enough for Gadea so then she acted as the ceiling for Ashley Yoder who was not quite good enough but then Amanda Hebus, Mackenzie Dern and now Kanako Murata. Have all surpassed her. So, you know what I mean? It's like, I mean, this is like the next test for Pinheiro.
As long as your ego is in check, it's a role to be played within within lots of sports. There's some guys that will play team sports. They're never going to play for England, but they're good, solid team men that you need in the team because, you know, you can't have a team full of internationals.
Mm.
And if, you know, Randa, depending on how she sort of views it, I know it's different for an individual sports a competitor, and it's even more different for a fighter, I think, because you're tied into being the best, probably. You know what I mean? You can't help but want to be the best in the division.
Mm.
But it's a role, you know, I think Cowboy's maybe got the role. Cub Swanson's got the role now. Like, they're just, you know, they're still active, solid active fighters that are a speed bump that you've got to get past. And if you can't get past them, you know, you're not ready.
Yeah.
And that's the role.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'd probably hate being described as that, but, you know.
Yeah, but you know, I guess it depends on what you focus on, you know, what your journey is. I think everybody that steps into the UFC, it's, you know, the idea of being a champion is something that everybody loves the idea of. Yeah. But I do think there are some people that are honest with themselves that they don't have the work ethic for it. Or maybe they look at, you know, they can't make middleweight and they look at John Jones in the light heavyweight division. Yeah. They're like, why is he 5 inches taller than me with a 7-inch reach advantage? And you know what I mean? And why is he 4 years, like Glover Teixeira. You know, like, this is his best shot at the belt.
Yeah.
After that John Jones fight, he must have stepped away and thought to himself, I hope he moves up to heavyweight.
What do you want me to do?
Yeah, exactly.
What do you want me to do?
Exactly. I'm smaller, I'm older, I'm slower. I've got the Glover Teixeira game.
Yeah.
Everyone needs a plug-in. Yeah. Everyone needs that plug-in.
You all need what I've got, but I need what you've got.
A bit of something. Just help me out here.
Give me some spice.
Give me some picograms or something.
What called it. She called it some spice, some life spice. Just give me that like X factor. Yeah.
Yeah. Floor spice. Salt, that's what it's called in Waiting. Have you seen that?
No.
I watched that the other day. Fucking great movie. Waiting. They're dropping food on the floor in the restaurant, call it Floor Spice.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway.
And Pinheiro is kind of the opposite. I don't actually think she's technically that great, but she's super athletic and she obviously has a really nice experience and level of judo that she uses, she uses very, very well. She lands that sort of hip toss and wears a hip toss quite a lot. Very quick. She's tenacious. I don't know how old she is actually, but she's, you know, she fights with a lot of energy.
I was just looking at, she's 27.
Yeah. Okay.
She's in a good spot. I mean, you know, she lost a fight early on by split decision against an undefeated fighter at the time. And now she's on a streak, but she stopped 7 of 8.
Mm.
And all in the first round. She does work fast.
She got some subs on her record, but they're not super slick. They're more like, there's an opportunity there. She just like jumps on them and death squeezes them a little bit. It's not like a really smooth setup like you would, like Mackenzie Dern would just set you up and like snap your arm or whatever. It wasn't really like that. It was just, again, it was a very athletic way of going about stuff.
But that, so her debut against who did she make a debut against? I just watched it a minute ago as well. Like, there it is. Frausto. Frausto? Stephanie Frausto. As soon as the fight started, like, you could see straight away, she's like foot on the gas, very, very tightly wound, very, very, like, ready to find the finish immediately. And you just look down at her record, like, she's got 7 first round finishes, 2 arm bars, 2 rear naked chokes, and a guillotine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. She's not here to mess around, is she?
But then I would say probably the strongest part of Randa's game is that she's a good grappler. Mm. And I would say she's quite a slow starter. Like, this could be problematic for her if she's not ready for that rush immediately. Because she's on a 3-fight losing streak. Her opponent's coming in on a hot streak, all full of confidence. She isn't going to look at Randa Markos and think, oh my goodness, she's 10-10, that's Randa Markos. She's going to think, I'm going to smash her.
Yeah.
And who's next?
I think it's a tough fight for Randa.
Yeah.
I think it is. I think
it's a sink or swim fight, isn't it? I mean, if she loses this one, she goes into a negative record.
Yeah.
And I don't know as the UFC will keep her around for much longer.
Like we said, you just don't see it, do you? You don't see it at all.
She just seems very emotional oftentimes. She seems like she's so emotionally invested in the outcome of the fight that she puts so much pressure on herself. Like when she's walking out, you can see it's like, you know,
let's get this done.
Like, she carries a lot into the octagon with her, and I think that often works against her. And I think someone like Pinheiro is just, she's a gamer. She's aggressive. She's fast. A judo background always gives people a lot of confidence or something to fall back on, because they're worst case scenario, you've got double underhooks, well, overhooks, hip throws.
Yeah.
And then Randa's game's arm bars. That's probably the best threat that she's got. But she's going to struggle to sub Pinheiro.
You'd think so, wouldn't
unless,
you?
Unless Pinheiro wears herself out from being too overly excited. I mean, you know, she's got one loss on a record. It's a split decision. Maybe the best thing to do is to push her to a decision. Yeah,
rope it open a little bit. And, you know, Randa's got the experience. I know a record is, you know.
I guess that's where the strength is in accepting that role. Like, if you accept that that's the role that you play, you're like, all right, well, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to make your life really difficult
for you.
Let's
see if you can fight this fight.
Exactly.
So you can fight this fight archetype.
Yeah.
See how you go with this. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think Pinheiro probably, but I can see that scenario where Randa just plays it smart and, you know, Luana blows herself out a little bit.
Yeah. And then the other Luana, Luana Carolina, oh, against Poliana Battaglia.
She got knee-barred so bad by Lipski. That was horrible.
Good hamstring stretch, though.
Really good hamstring stretch.
I mean,
if
ever you get really bad hamstring cramp, that's kind of what you want to do to your leg to get rid of
pretty
it.
Pretty much.
You know, so.
Yeah, that was horrible.
Yeah.
She had a partial ACL tear that didn't operate, so it must have been relatively small. And, yeah, I mean, I would think she would. One of the things the hamstring does, the way the hamstring inserts on your lower shank of your leg is it sort of replicates what the ACL does as well, so it stops that shift. So if you've got a partial ACL tear and that's compromised, so it's preventing it, it's the ACL is stopping that happening, so stopping that calf, you know, moving, is that the really, really strong hamstrings that come through here can help to stabilize that knee.
Okay.
So if it's only partial, which I would assume, I flip an ope, she's doing loads and loads of hamstring strength, and that will just hopefully just
kind of balance
stabilize
it,
that up a little bit. But and it will heal. It will heal a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, god damn it, I hope she's been doing some strength and some proprioception stuff.
Yeah. And then the thing that I always remember about Battaglia is the power of her kicks, though.
Yeah.
I mean, like, she thunders kicks in.
She does.
Majority of the time to the body, that body kick against Sherry Kondo echoed around the arena. And then she hit Lauren Mueller with one as well, even though she won that one by decision. She hurt her pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, if that's targeted to the leg.
And Luana does that skirting around the edge of the, around the edge, past the black line. She's especially against, who does she fight? Last time out, I think she was skirting around the edge.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking if she mistimes that and she skirts into one of those leg kicks, she's going to be in a bit of she's going to be in a bit of a trouble. They both fight with their chins up in the air.
They're very high. They're very high on their toes, yeah. I mean, Battaglia does kind of duck down a bit when she's coming into coming into trade, but should be an interesting one. I'm interested to see how she deals with the kicks of Battaglia, because that seems to be a game-changing weapon for her, even if she doesn't win the fight by, you know, with the kick. It just takes the wind out of her opponent.
If Pollyanna cuts her off and gets her into the choke point, she's going to be able to load some power. She's got some good power, Pollyanna, I think.
Yeah.
And I think, she might get... Yeah, she might get caught.
You going with Battaglia then?
Yeah, I think so.
So both the Luanas are losing, or have you got Pinheiro beating Randa Marcos?
No, I've got Pinheiro. Okay.
So at least we get one Luana winning then.
Yeah, I think so.
Mirab Dvalishvili against Cody Stamann.
Definitely going to be the fight of the card.
Yeah.
I reckon.
In which direction though? Who are you picking to win?
You just want me to say his name, that's why.
Of course I do.
Dvalishvili.
Yeah.
Dvalishvili. I think he's flipping close. He's really close. I just think he's a tiny bit more well-rounded. Mm-hmm. They're quite similar in some ways, aren't they? Like they're sort of very, very elastic, sort of pretty staunch, bounce around. You know, Stamann's got some... He's took Rivera, Kelleher and Yadong to decisions.
Yeah.
He's relatively well-rounded. I just think not quite as well-rounded as this, the Georgian hitman.
I like Dvalishvili. You know, he's a lot of fun to watch. My concern is that he doesn't have a great deal of stopping power, and that will allow Cody Stamann to get into the fight later on.
You reckon?
Yeah. I mean, I know Dvalishvili's, he's got great conditioning and he's constantly moving.
He'd have to. But the way he fights, he'd have to have incredible conditioning, wouldn't he?
He's like, so this is this out. Dvalishvili moving up a weight class?
Oh, I'm not sure.
I think he might be. I think this might be his first fight at featherweight, is it not? Oh, no. Cody Stamann going down.
Wow, he's a big dude to be going down. Jeez,
that concerns me a little bit. So Cody Stamann going down to bantamweight.
Wow, he didn't look like there was anything to cut. Do you know what I mean?
No,
he was like lean and, you know, I thought he was thick for that weight, let alone the weight below.
He looked bigger than Jimmy Rivera as well. So that might not be. That might change things. I thought Dvalishvili was moving up, mainly because I just had the assumption that Cody Stamann could go down.
There's no way Cody would go down,
So if he's going down, he might be cut into a point where Dvalishvili's conditioning will really start to show on him in the later rounds.
Yeah.
I just don't see. There's nothing in Dvalishvili's game that really thinks makes me think. Oh, he's gonna be able to stop him with.
You know. I think he can. Yeah, he could potentially stop him with relentlessness, maybe. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, just keep on him and on him and on him. And
it's a lot of decisions on Dvalishvili's record, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And yeah. Like, so say for example, if Cody Stamann does make his way down the weight class and he does look healthy, that size in the wrestling exchanges might start to...
That's going
to
be a lot,
Yeah.
That's a lot of weight to be trying to get off you.
Yeah. You going with Dvalishvili, are you?
Yeah, I think so. Like I said, I think they're pretty similar.
Yeah.
I just feel like he's maybe a touch more well-rounded. He's got a real nice variety in what he throws with his attacks. He's coming from all sorts of different angles, spinning attacks, knees, elbows. He's all about it, and his wrestling seems good. You know, I know Stamann's wrestling is solid, but I feel like I feel like there's a bit of parity there.
Mm.
Yeah. Should be a good fight. I'd be amazed if it was a boring fight.
There's no way it could be a slow-paced one.
Yeah.
And if it is, then definitely Cody Stamann's going to start to struggle, because you're not going to get anything other than 80 miles an hour consistently out of Dvalishvili.
Yeah.
This next one's a bit weird. The next one up on the main card is Sean Strickland against Krzysztof Jotko. So Sean Strickland's ranked at number 15.
Mm.
Jotko, I felt like, has jumped into the top 15 at some point, but is now no longer there. It's a battle of the guys that no one's paying any attention to at middleweight. Like, neither of these guys, even on the cards where I've called them, no one was particularly excited about them being on the cards. No one particularly acknowledges the fact that they're on the card. And it was usually, like, Jotko was usually the spoiler for guys. Let's have a look. I mean...
They're like, they need... Whichever of them, they need this win and two more before anyone's going to sort of talk about them.
Yeah. Yeah, like he's been fighting in the UFC for a long while, but like most people won't think of Jocko if you're thinking middleweights. And same thing with Sean Strickland.
Like, he's had some good wins, Sean Strickland.
Yeah.
Like some solid wins.
This is the thing, they're both good fighters, but they're a bit... They're so consistent that it's like we were talking about the other week with Shevchenko. You like try and find highlights in her fights.
Yeah.
And it's so difficult because it's just a consistent overall control and beating. And that's kind of what these guys do. They're like cruise at like in fourth gear and they just kind of pick at their opponent. And
I'm just slightly ahead at all times.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, Strickland's good, man. He's like really good. He's beating... Tarlow is beating Jack Marshman. He's beaten. He's got a good mixture of strikes. He's that weird zombie foot when he strikes. Sometimes like he drags his back foot. You know, like you would see in beginner class sometimes.
Yeah,
you were like, wow, how have you not got that out of your
right
out of your game? But I was thinking about that. You see, we do still see that quite a bit. I don't know whether that is.
He's only had two fights at middleweight as well.
Yeah, I don't know whether that zombie foot is. Like they found a way of creating stability, and that flat-footed zombie foot just gives you stability, so you can sit down a bit on your punches or whatever. And we know it's not optimal, but you see it too often for it to be. It just you never learnt it. Like they've almost discovered it, like self-discovery. They've discovered a way of giving themselves stability in the striking.
I mean, I think a part of it, and it's the same reason why Frankie Edgar and GSP, their toes turn out. Mm. I think it's a lot of grappling and wrestling with shoes on.
Yeah,
and I think when you're doing boxing training, especially if you're in a boxing gym and you're being taught how to box, that back foot's turned out, and you give very little concern for the pivoting up onto the ball of the foot because you've got purchase from the side of the shoe.
Yeah,
you know, and it seems like it changes the way people do things. Purely because it gives you a grip point on the part of the foot that you wouldn't if you didn't wear a shoe. Mm,
yeah.
But I have a certain pair of boxing boots that I wear. I always wear the Adidas ones because they just feel like I'm not wearing anything. So I can feel my contact with the floor. Mm. Whereas when I put my Nike ones on or the Reebok ones, I feel like I'm so disconnected that it's just, as long as my foot's on the floor, it doesn't really matter what part of it. And the other thing as well with Strickland, because he's not, and both of these guys, him and Jocko, because they're not particularly chase you down and beat you up, they do kind of edge into range.
Mm.
Like that back foot being turned out is quite useful for leaning away and, you know, utilising upper body defence instead of lower body.
Edge in and then use the lean to stay out of trouble.
Yeah.
And then stay close to range. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But Stipe's like that a little bit. Mm. You know, he's a bit flat footed on his back foot and kind of edges his way in.
Yeah, right. Interesting.
I honestly would be surprised if this fight is finished before the 15 minutes.
Yeah. Strickland decision, maybe.
Probably.
Flip of a coin.
Yeah.
Jocko did a good job against Barrio. Barrio, it's a, you know, he's a difficult proposition. And
But fights in bursts and fights aggressively. Yeah. You know, and that's where I think these two guys are just kind of... It might be like watching a guy shadowboxing in the mirror.
Hmm.
I'd like to see one of these do something because they're both skilled enough. They're both like 22-4, 22-3. They're both skilled enough to have a good run at the top and to beat some guys, but they just, neither of them have got the...
Need a bit of firecracker in there, yeah.
Yeah, they need emotional content. That's the theme of the show.
All right, I reckon Strickland just by decision.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. I tell you what, Sean Strickland's got a much higher striking output.
Yeah.
Yeah, both 6'1". There's a slight reach advantage for Jocko, but only by an inch. Southpaw v. Orthodox, so it'll be the battle of the lead hand. But Sean Strickland's striking output is... he lands over 5 strikes a minute compared to Jocko, who doesn't quite land 3. Lower striking accuracy, higher striking defence. Both have almost exactly the same takedown average. 1.26, 1.27.
Mm.
It's weird how similar they are in a lot of ways. But Strickland just slightly ahead in most of the stats.
There you go. Stats are backing up the
stats.
Theory.
Okay.
Right.
Go on.
This won't be. This won't be like that one.
But now we've we've cursed it, haven't we?
Kutalar was a straight up maniac for sure. Like if he was a bad guy on Narcos, you'd be like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect casting.
Absolutely. Like it.
I mean, he just had that crazy series of events with Anklev, didn't he?
Took up half of his career.
Yeah,
just took ages.
Took a massive amount of time out of it and didn't go well for him at all, did it? like fucked around and got caught out, fooled everyone, including the ref. And
well, that was the problem, is he couldn't use the same game plan twice because everyone knew what was coming this time.
And like emotionally out of control in the second one, right? You could see all the whole build up. He was like, he's been angry for like 3 months and he's just
exhausted himself
and then got, you know, and Clever doesn't mess around.
No.
And, you know, obviously got finished there. But he's very, very powerful. Like, and you know,
that's the
thing,
could do
some damage.
Yeah.
He could do some damage.
If he gets his way in the first 2 minutes, he's going to elbow your face into the canvas.
Yeah.
Like, that's really his thing. He's like,
he comes to fight.
Yeah.
He's a fighter.
He comes people, to fight. Doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. Because, so he's.
And then go.
He's got the Greco background, right?
I
believe if you
so.
Do. So, yeah. So that's his like fallback. So he obviously likes going in then and throwing some heat with his hands. Mm. And then if he does misjudge that distance and he does get caught up in the clinch, he has got some really nice Greco, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I've seen a couple of times he's worked that clinch to come out on top and do some damage.
He isn't going to get what he wants out of Jacoby here, though. Not in this fight.
Mm.
I think he wants a scrap. That's what he was trying to get out of Ankalaev by trying to punk him. You know, like he was like trying to draw him in by thinking he was hurt, so he'd come crashing forward and then a scrap would ensue.
I think Jacoby's wily though.
He's gonna chop that lead leg up.
Yeah.
And you're gonna see Kutalaba, he's gonna get frustrated, he's gonna start to chase him, he's gonna start to stumble on that lead leg.
I thought Jacoby did a real good job with Grishin last time out, because he looked dwarfed by him, didn't he? Like Grishin was huge.
Yeah.
And took some heat. He took a lot of heat in those early exchanges.
Yeah.
And just took his time and you know, picked him apart a little bit.
Well, this is it. Like, you look at both the guys that he's fought since his contender series fight when he beat Ty Flores. He's fought Justin Ledet and Max Grisham, who both were heavyweights before fighting.
Like,
him.
He's not going to be rattled by Kutalaba coming out and trying to intimidate him, or you know.
Especially because honestly, I've always looked at Kutalaba and thought to myself, you know, he's kind of an oversized middleweight.
Mm.
Like, he's a bit caught between the two. You can imagine him being in that one.
Yeah, because he's not out of shape or anything. He's not carrying a load of body fat or anything. But he's just, you know, that's the shape and size he sort of is.
Yeah. What? Let's have a look at the stats here. He's 6'1 compared to 6'3. Only an inch difference in reach, advantage Jacoby. But it's just the aggression of Ion Kutalaba that tends to even the playing field. A bit like Mikhail Alekseyuk.
Yeah.
A bit undersized, but he's aggressive enough and powerful enough that if he gets too early...
He's got a chip on his shoulder about being undersized.
Yeah.
And brings the aggression.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who are you taking with that one?
I mean, there's only two ways, isn't there? Jacoby probably by decision, or Kutalaba goes in and catches him early.
I think Jacoby might surprise us here. I think he can put enough work in the early rounds to slow Kutalaba down, so he's going to be able to get him with something.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like Jacoby's not got power in his hands. He's just not quite as reckless as Kutalaba. Like, you look at Kutalaba and you're like, oh, okay, he's an aggressive individual. He gets to people. But Jacoby's got experience in kickboxing as well.
Yeah, he's ex-Glory, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he's got losses. He's got a few losses in his kickboxing career, but it's all experience.
It'd be fascinating to see whether Kutalaba has looked back at the process behind the Ankliev fight and whether he's learned anything from it, or he's just more mad that he's now lost two fights and now he's even madder.
He ain't looking back at his old fights.
Yeah, I reckon.
He'll watch his own highlight reel, but there's no way he's watching any losses. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I think Jacoby probably he's just a bit
yeah. I mean, you know, you look at Kutalaba and he's a bit of that same role, you know. He's the litmus test. He's the...
Can you get past a maniac?
He's the semi-permeable membrane.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
I do remember some things from...
A little bit.
Are we still recording, Jamie? Look at this. I'm not even allowed to leave my seat yet.
Yeah, I know.
It feels a bit strange.
You don't get a little break while you walk around the room.
Co-main event time.
Yeah.
Cub Swanson against Giga Chikadze.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Interesting, right?
I wasn't because, the ones I was expecting.
Well,
yeah.
Sort of in my head... I had Chikadze was like fire. He's coming out and he's going to, you know, but he's took a little bit of an adjustment to the level of competition, hasn't he? Like, he was, you know, yeah, he's got a bit, he's got a long history and glory in kickboxing stuff, and you know, he's seasoned in kickboxing. But I just feel like, you know, two splits and two decisions against, I don't know whether it's fair to say, sort of like stock UFC level fighters, like nothing particularly special. And you know, he hasn't finished them. You know, he's got a couple of decisions. He obviously tore through like the Californian scene with the Gladiator Challenge before he came in. But I sort of had in my head that he was a bit more of a superstar than he is at the minute. Mm. And maybe, you know, as we said with Cub, he's one of those guys that you have to get past if you want to carry on. And maybe this is the turning point for him. If he can put something together here and beat Cub, and Cub is a very, very solid, very experienced fighter who plays that role very, very well, doesn't he?
It's one of my favourites, Cub is. Yeah. Always has been. You know, even back in his WEC days, he was just, he's in the same tribe as Eddie Wineland. Like, if I'm given this kind of fighter an archetype name, they're gunslingers.
Yeah.
Because their wide stance, their hands are down by their sides. It's like, you fucking draw first, I'm going to put you down. It's like that kind of vibe all the time.
With skills.
Yeah.
With
skills, anyone that's got California is happy for... Anyone's got California tattoos, he's happy to street fight.
Right.
Like, he is straight out of Grand Theft Auto, isn't he? Like, palm trees on his body and, you know... Like he's got that kind of vibe, you know. Whereas on the flip side, you've got Giga Chikadze, who's much more of a traditional kickboxing style.
Yeah,
but then
his stance worries me a little bit.
It's very short, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah.
Because he's not like, and Cobb's a mixed martial artist. Yeah. You know what I mean? He won't be scared of, you know, testing him standing and then just taking him down and grounding him. Crowning him to a finish.
Well, this is where we get to see where Chikadze's ground game is, because obviously he has been working on it.
Yeah.
But Cub's got the experience and the wrestling to be able to ground this fight if he wants to you know, and he's got good ground and pound. His striking transfers quite well to the ground as well, because he throws with the intention that he does. My concern is when Cub's pitching punches over the top, whether that body kick's going to be available for Chikadze. Because even if Cub might be tempted to try and punch him when he's kicking, and the trade off might not work out too well for Cub. Like he might
power in those kicks.
Absolutely, and you know what it's like when you're fully extended into a punch and it you know just lands, but then someone clips you to the body as well. Like he might knock. Like, okay, here's a scenario. This is like, imagine if this happens perfectly. I should be holding a newspaper up so people know this for right now. So. Cub's in and out, bouncing in and out. His inside leg's been worked, and that's starting to sting a little bit. And he thinks to himself, I'm going to put this right on Giga Chikadze's chin when he throws that next inside low kick. And as the low kick's coming, he pitches the right hand over the top, and he gets kicked to the body. And he lands the punch. Chikadze goes down, but only because he's been knocked off balance. At the same time, Cub's rising around on the floor because he can't breathe. And Chikadze comes in and finishes him off with ground and pound.
Well, we shall see, won't we? Did you see Daniel
believable, though, right?
Pineda? Like how big Daniel Pineda came in last time against Cub, and Cub just didn't give a fuck. He was like, I do not care. Man came in at like almost middleweight,
I tell you what, and I don't know this for sure because I've not looked, but if I look at Cub Swanson's Wikipedia page right now, I bet he started as like a welterweight or something.
Right. And just
No, you know, he didn't. He started as a lightweight. 2004 to 2006, and has moved down.
Six fight of the nights he's had.
Yeah.
Made some bank covers over the years.
I bet he has. I bet he has. And he's a legend. He's like a Cowboy Cerrone kind of fighter. You know?
Exactly.
Same kind of generation, same kind of respect.
Yeah. Like, respect. Like, there'd be no one around. No one around doesn't respect Cowboy. No one around doesn't respect Cub Swanson. Do you know what I mean? They're just stupid of that pedigree, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, and the chances are neither of them are going to be the champ again. Well, it's not again, but they're not going to be the champ in the future. Mm-hmm. But they're a really important part of the machine, aren't they?
Yeah. If you were sponsored by the original Tap Out,
you've been around.
Been around.
Yeah. You've been around.
I've got a one-off jacket. It was a prototype Tap Out jacket. I'll have to wear it on the show sometime. And it's proper Tap Out. You know what I mean? Like, it's like a black denim looking jacket, and it's got Tap Out and all the buttons, and it's got something about mask on the inside and a big Tap Out on the back. It's pretty cool. I did love it at the time, but you know, now people will think I'm some kind of pro wrestling dog. Is anything wrong with pro wrestling? I want nothing against it. It's just kind of odd. But
I think Cobb will win it.
Sitting there with these other
plenty of pro wrestling.
They're Owens.
I think
Cobb's going to do it.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
I like a prediction like that.
Yeah, I think Cobb's going to do it.
I'm not so sure.
No.
I like Chikadze's
too sharp striking.
I think he's been finding his feet in the octagon. I think the expectation's been so much, and it's just a different game, MMA. You know, you can be as good at kickboxing as you want, but like if you're fighting in Glory, you've got your rounds are 3 minutes, and the whole round is standing up, and you know for sure it's going to be standing up. And if at any point you end up on the floor for whatever reason, you're either going to get a standing eight count or get your gloves cleaned and you're back at it.
Yeah.
He's a body kick guy. And the inherent risk in throwing body kicks in MMA is that they get caught and you get ran to the ground. And when your ground game is not matching the level of your striking, that risk is like, oh, do I really want to do this? And he doesn't have the same kind of pep in his punches. You know, he has got good hands, but it's much more about the placement, the accuracy, than the bombs that Cub Swanson throws. Mm. Like he's got natural power because of his intensity behind him. Whereas
throws Chikadze's, California behind him.
He throws the whole of California. Yeah. Minus Uriah Faber.
Yeah.
I think it's a really fun fight, and I'm so glad it's co-main event. Mm. And
could be fight then, it could get his seventh fight of the night.
I want Giga Chikadze to do well. I want him to continue to progress. I just don't like it when he has to make his name off someone like a Cub Swanson.
Yeah.
And I feel like the stage is a bit set for
I want some of the Glory axe kicks come back in.
Again, though, the risks. The axe kick comes down, it lands on you, you just go... and then they're on the floor, and in Glory they stand back up, and in MMA they're scrambling and defending their neck.
All right, I'll go Cub, you go Giga.
No. I'm not picking against Cobb. I'm just saying.
It could happen.
I'm just saying that...
Get a few more splinters.
Might happen.
A few more splinters. Stay on that fence. And that'll be a good co-main event, won't it?
I think it's going to be great. Yeah, and the main event's a lot of fun as well. I've done a war room one. Is that going up tonight?
Yeah.
10 o'clock. So, it won't be tonight, though, because this will be tomorrow.
Oh, shit, yeah. So it's up now already.
Go back and watch it.
It premiered last night or the night before, depending on how fast the edit is for this. So anyway. Yeah,
we'll see.
I mean, obviously we know Dominic Reyes. We know what he's good at. We know how effective he's been in the UFC and where his limitations have been perhaps shown a little bit. On the flip side, Jiří Procházka is coming in. He's only had one fight in the UFC and people don't really know a great deal about him. And what you'll see from his first fight, as you said, straight when you walked in today, is awkward, isn't he? He's awesome. So he's all awkward. Over the place. Yeah. He wasn't always like that, you know.
Oh, really?
Like, if you go back into his earlier fights in Rising, like Rising 10, like first of all, he's had more haircuts than me.
Right.
He's like, his hair's always changing. Yeah. It's always something odd. But his style was a bit more calm and a bit more, he was almost always orthodox. And he didn't switch his stances too much. I mean, he gets into like a flow attack where he's chasing people down. But now he seems to be far more conscious of switching his stance.
Yeah.
And he also seems to kick a lot more from southpaw as well.
I couldn't really work out whether it's really smart that he's found this this awkward tempo and awkward rhythm that people are going to find hard to pull apart in the moment, and they're not going to be able to just...
What are you doing with your hands there?
There's a poppet down here. They're not going to have to pull apart. I'm pulling stuff apart.
Is that what they're doing? Yeah. Pulling something.
Look.
Got him. Damn it! It was the
pinch. I can't work out whether it's like smart and the tempo and it's going to be difficult for people to acutely work out, or it's a lot of work for work's sake, and I don't know whether you're actually doing, you know, you're not actually setting the traps you think you're setting here, and people are going to, like, for instance, Dominic Reyes might be able to just...
smash him one time with the left hand.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
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 That was my concern, because, like if you look back into Prochazka's career, it's not like he's come from nowhere. I mean, he's got a lot of experience by comparison. Like 27-3, and his last three wins, have been UFC vets. Volkan Ozdemir in his UFC debut, but then he also has got a win over CB Dolloway and Fabiano Maldonado, both first round stoppages, like less than 2 minutes. And he was he's been in Rising for a while. So it's like, I mean, he fought, like, there's a guy on his record called Carl Albrechtsen, who's a very good fighter, who really tested him. And he's also, you know, fighting in 10-minute rounds as well in Rising. So that first, that fight against Albrechtsen, he stopped him 3 seconds before the end of the first round, 9 minutes, 57 seconds. Wow. And he got taken down and mauled, and then had to explode out of bad positions and avoid submissions. And it was a bloody fight. But I agree with what you're saying, because his movement is very erratic, and I don't think there's necessarily a plan to it. However, once he's got someone hurt or backing up, because of the way he moves naturally, he doesn't think about where he's putting his feet. Mm. Like, there's a clip I used on the War Room where he goes from orthodox to switch into southpaw to follow them down. Then they cut across and he goes back to orthodox, and then... Like, that ability to switch stances without thinking about it allows him to focus entirely on the moving target of his opponent's chin.
Yeah, and just be fluid within the stance,
But because it almost seems instinctual when he's attacking, I think it's instinctual all the time. Mm. And I think that can be programmed. And you know, you look at Dominic Reyes against Chris Weidman or against OSP, and he's got this real nice little kind of jog back,
bam,
power left.
And slip an uppercut.
Yeah, and exactly the cannoneer fight. But he's also got a very powerful kick. And if I'm someone that's bouncing around, like if I'm facing someone that's bouncing around as much as that, my concern of throwing a straight punch and missing would maybe override my confidence in actually throwing it. Mm. Whereas if you've got someone bouncing around, you can whack a kick at them. Not,
the consequences aren't as high.
Not quite as high.
And very damaging if you throw as they're zagging.
Exactly.
You know, you catch them moving into it.
Yeah. But I think his power, and this is southpaw the orthodox as well. Like I said, Yuri Prochazka does switch stance, but he tends to only switch to kick.
Mm.
Which is what I've just noticed it quite consistently throughout his career.
I really like Reyes. Mm. I thought he was really good against John Jones. We briefly discussed earlier whether or not he won that or not.
I'd have to watch it back again. I mean, I remember watching it.
I feel like he took three rounds. Do you feel like he took three rounds? But then if we talk,
we were there, weren't we?
Yeah. But then if we talk about it as outside of the rule set and the constraints of the UFC, he was going to lose a fight if they were just fighting, like that was only going to go one way from there on in.
Yeah,
like John incremented his output and, you know, got the job done.
Yeah,
but I you know, under those rules, I feel like he got three rounds.
Yeah,
and I thought he was excellent against him. Do you know what I mean? Like John's the greatest.
Yeah,
and I thought it was excellence against him.
That's the thing, though.
And then he gets Jan next fight.
I know, yeah, like, but you know,
it's tough at the top.
He was expected to win that though.
Yeah,
like people expected him to beat Jan, and you know, Jan just,
I think he was doing all right.
He was doing all right, but Jan put on such a great performance, and he opened him up with, well, opened his guard up with kicks. Like the bruising to his body was bad.
Oh my god, on the ribs.
Yeah.
It was like that much on the ribs, wasn't it? Jan was, you know, but he was pretty special that night.
This Prochazka's a really difficult individual for him to face. Like, Volkan Ozdemir had all kinds of problems with him. He just couldn't get a track on his movement.
He touched him a couple of times though, and if Reyes touches him the amount that he touched him, you know, but then some power there.
Maybe. I don't know, as Volkan Ozdemir is, he's always underestimated for power.
Mm.
But if you look at the people that he's knocked out at close range.
Yeah.
Like, knocked out Misha Serkinov, like really, really short range punch. Was it Jimmy Manu as well? Jimmy Manu he knocked out, you know, Ilya Latifi.
Yeah, true.
He has got
the big
power.
Big dudes, he's dropping.
And, yeah, and Prochazka's not, you know, he's not been stopped for... Well, 2012 was the last time he was stopped with strikes. And believe it or not, that was Bojan Veličković, who's actually a... he's a welterweight, isn't he, Veličković? He fought Darren Till. Veličković was the guy that Darren Till dropped with the elbow against the fence.
Okay, yeah, nice.
So, I don't know what the situation with that was or what weight class that was at. And he's got a loss to Abdulkarim Edilov as well by rear naked choke. But then his last loss was against Mo Lowell. And I mean, and he'd already fought once on that night as well. We have to bear in mind he beat Vadim Nemkov that night by retirement, who's the current Bellator champ. But that loss to Mo Lowell, it was a good fight. But you know, he was under pressure. He did enough damage to force Nemkov to retire. But there was also a lot of exhaustion going on in there. the knockout against Mo Lawal, he ran onto a right hand. Mm. And I can see Reyes doing the same thing. But I think if Reyes goes chasing Prochazka, then it's gonna be a difficult night for him, because Prochazka is just gonna move instinctively, however he needs to.
So he's so elusive and he's so unpredictable. What do you do? Do you just try and limit the octagon as much as you can with your lateral movement, just to try and constrain his movement? Or what else do you do? Do you disengage and try and engage on your terms only? I'm not sure. Like, what game plan do you go in with?
Mm. Well, okay. So if I'm Dominic Reyes coming into this one, I'm looking at this guy who's on a win streak and he's got loads and loads of first round stoppages. Now Reyes knows he can stop people, but all of Reyes' finishes are all in the first round. He has won by decision, but he's most effective in the first round, and he does seem to gas. You know, he does seem to slow down. He does seem to, like, there is a limit to how much he can throw those power shots.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Is this, like, three or five?
This is five.
Oh, five. Yeah, of course.
So that's my concern, is if he goes out and tries to, like, coming off two losses, felt like he didn't do enough against John Jones, felt like Jan got ahead of him, you know, without him putting his foot on the gas. Like, he might start this fight fast and just miss. He might spend a lot of time grappling and not really get anywhere with it.
Mm.
If I'm him, I'm playing the veteran card, even though he's got a lot less experience. He's the UFC veteran. I would force Prochazka to come to me, because although Prochazka's got very erratic movement when he's moving, when he's cutting you down, as soon as he decides to attack, he's coming straight at you.
Mm.
It's not until he's hit you with a shot and you're starting to reel that then his direction change becomes very good. So if I'm Reyes, I'm standing waiting, I'm allowing him to run on, and I'm stepping off and I'm landing that left hand, I'm smashing the inside of his leg, because he did have to take some time out for a surgery. He did got weakened on his inside leg against Mark Tanios. So, like, there is a vulnerability there with that lead leg, and because he stands so long and so heavy on the lead leg, it's an obvious target for him. Like, southpaw to orthodox, Reyes is all power side left, so he can hammer that leg, hammer the body, maybe set up a high kick, but he doesn't need to close him down and force him up against the fence, because he's going to be chasing him the majority of the time.
Yeah,
I think it'd be better for Reyes to allow
draw him onto him a little bit,
and then, you know, worst case scenario, Jiří Prochazka comes over the top with a double jab right hand, which is his favourite push forward combination, and a quick level change, and Reyes is underneath him and into his wrestling game.
Yeah.
And I think once Reyes gets him on the floor, then I think he can control him and beat him up. Mm. Maybe not finish him, but can certainly control him and beat him up. I just think going and looking for it with someone that's as unorthodox as that, you walk onto things that you're not expecting.
Yeah.
Where the weakness in Prochazka's game is that he's moving instinctively, so he's not necessarily thinking all the time about what he's doing.
Interesting.
Give him something to chase.
Technical main event, you know what I mean? It's not a gunslinger event, is it?
It's not.
Yeah.
It's not. And you know, the reason the UFC have set this up is because Prochazka's got a damn good chance of beating Reyes, and then they've got another big star in the light heavyweight division. Yeah. Quite easily could become the UFC light heavyweight champion. It's not like he doesn't have the skills. People underestimate him because he's unorthodox.
Mm.
But, I mean, he's wrecking guys. Where's my notepad? It's in the gym.
Oh, he did get your walk in.
Got to.
You got your little episode walk.
I can't sat down for the whole episode. I just want to make sure I've got the number right.
That the left inch is a welterweight.
It was a welterweight. Yeah. Jeez, how do you make welterweight? We can snip that bit out. You see, it's just gone. It's just gone. Didn't even exist. And I've now got a notepad.
That's behaved all
day. I don't know. It's because I've just sat down with force, I think. 27 wins, 24 knockouts, 23 first round.
Yeah.
24 knockouts, 2 submissions.
Mm.
So his game's pretty clear just from the stats. He's got a triangle and a rear naked choke. He's on an 11-fight win streak. He's got 23 first round finishes, but 3 of those first round finishes were in a round which was 10 minutes long.
Mm.
So technically 20 first round finishes.
Yeah.
But good conditioning to fight hard for 10 minutes.
So, yeah, I mean, you'd say Reyes, you know, an avenue that Reyes could have is to take him into deep water, but he's, you know, Reyes struggles in deep water anyway.
He has never fought past 15 minutes, though.
Yeah.
I've looked all the way down his career. There's one fight here against Mark Tanios that's listed as 5 fives, but it wasn't. It was only 2 fives.
Fighting a 10-minute round is like 2.5 rounds, though, isn't it? You know, do you know what I mean?
Depends who you're fighting.
Without that gap in the middle. Savagery. Yeah, so opposite sides of the table, are we?
I don't know. It depends who you're picking.
Yeah, I'm going Reyes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
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 I'm going Reyes.
I'm leaning into an upset here just because of the experience that Prochazka's got.
Very good, man. It's good. Yeah. Good main event. I like it.
It'd be what's unfortunate is that Prochazka could suffer a loss here and it wouldn't really affect his stock too much. Mm. And that would move Reyes back up towards
He's got a bit of adjustment time still, hasn't he?
Whereas he might slip three in a row.
Rough man to see Reyes, bearing in mind how good he is and how well he's performed, to go 3 losses in a row. You'd think he'd get like one grace, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Absolutely, for sure. I mean, they gave me 4 losses in a row, and that was GSP and Condit with part of the reason for that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because
those top title fights almost don't count as a loss.
Especially if you give a decent account of yourself, which he did against John Jones, obviously.
Definitely. And he was with Jan.
Mm.
I thought he was doing really well with Jan, but...
We forget, though, he's only 12-2.
Yeah.
Like, he's not had a lot of fights.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes when I'm looking at a fighter and I look at their record, I'm like, oh, 12-2. I wonder where I was at that kind of... Like, where was I at 14 fights?
Leisure centres.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, he's already fought John Jones.
He came from American football, didn't he?
He had high school wrestling and then went into American football for college, I believe. Yeah.
He went undrafted, I think. So he was good enough to get to the draft, but then no one picked him up.
Oh,
yeah.
That
almost rich.
Yeah, almost. now people punch me in the face for money.
Yeah, right. All good. Good show. I'm looking forward to it.
So are you definitely going for Reyes?
Yeah.
You're going for Reyes,
are you? I'm a bit of a Reyes fan, to be honest. Okay.
I'm going to sit right in the face. I'm just leaning slightly towards Prochazka because I feel like he's on a streak and his confidence is up.
Mm.
But I don't mind either way. I'm just excited for the fights.
Beautiful.
Cool. All right.
Done. Lovely.
Thanks for watching. Catch you next time.